Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. This weekend, Tulsa Ballet offered three world premiere dance works by three of this generation's top choreographers. For the sixth year, creations from Studio K have brought three very interesting new works to life through Tulsa Ballet dancers, including works by Tulsa Ballet's resident choreographer, Ma Kong, his Juxtapose. Kong will be retiring from his other role as principal dancer at the conclusion of this season. Matthew Neenan, the resident choreographer for Pennsylvania Dance Theater and founder and choreographer for Ballet X, created a piece titled The Fullest Recreation. And Nicolo Fonte, resident choreographer for Ballet West and a longtime top-notch freelance choreographer, has created Axis Mundi. This weekend will also mark the final performances for three of Tulsa Ballet's standout dancers who have helped the ballet build its reputation over many years. Kong, Alexandra Bergman, and Alfonso Martin will be dancing their final roles. Joining me today is the ballet's artistic director, Marcello Angelini, to talk about creations from Studio K, which continues Wednesday through Sunday this week with performances at the ballet's headquarters located on 45th Place just off Peoria. Marcello Angelini, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Rich.
This past weekend, you had three choreographers feverishly finishing their works, which made their debut over the weekend. And most people are saying this is your most successful Studio K event with three world premieres over the weekend. What was your feeling as artistic director? Did you like what you saw?
Well, you know, for me it's always hard because I'm part of the creation in the sense that I'm always there watching the rehearsals and wondering how is the audience going to accept these works. And sometimes what we love as artists, what we perceive to be a great work, doesn't necessarily connect all that well with an audience. But this year I have to say that even though the works are very creative, the audience is loving every single one of them.
Yeah, I think most accounts have said this is probably the strongest of the three ballets together. And, of course, that's one thing when you're working up three different pieces, you don't know if they're going to fit together well. You're not going to know if one's or two are going to stand out and make the other one look less by comparison. But sounds like you had three very strong ballets.
You know, you're so right. The hardest thing about the creation evening is the fact that, you know, when you compose an evening of existing works, you select something to open the show, something in the middle, and something to close the show. But when they are creations, you never know how they turn out. And especially this year, I feel that we have a couple of pieces that can open an evening, two pieces that are definitely middle pieces, but there was no clear closer. So during the dress rehearsals, we tried a lot of different combinations to see which one would work best. And in this case, I try not to take the decision myself because I'm too involved emotionally in the process. So I call people from the offices, you know, the development people and the marketing people, and I invite them to see the rehearsal without telling them why. And then afterward, I would ask them, so what did you think? Did you like this ballet closing? And oddly enough, everybody gave me the same answer. No, Nikki's work should close. So I said, Nikki, the honors are yours.
Now, the other thing you have to consider is the physicality of the ballet, because you want to leave that last one where there's not another ballet, you know, the hardest one to do another one, I would assume. Is that figure into it at all?
Well, I try not to, because the order of an evening needs to be done so that it works for an audience. In the end, we are creating works for the audience.
It's not about making it work for the dancers. The dancers have to do what they have to do, right?
Whether they like it or not, yes. Unfortunately, that's the way it goes. But the consideration is always how taxing the works are for the dancers. And you know, when you have three great choreographers working together, they all tend to choose the same people, especially in the leading roles, and they all seem to think that their ballet is the only one that is going to be performed. So I need more time. You know, they keep pushing the dancers because obviously they want their works to be phenomenal. The thing is that once they are done rehearsing 2 hours with this choreographer, the next one comes in, and it's all about this ballet, and they have to be 100% in that ballet. And then there are 2 other hours with the third one, and it's the same thing. So sometimes, most of the times, every time, I should say, we have to have a little sit-down with everybody, and I need to explain, guys, your dancers are in every single ballet. Now, if you push them over the edge, what is going to happen? They are going to go out because they get hurt. And then not only you don't have this dancer that you really like, but also the other one and the other one is not going to have this dancer. So let's chill our emotions and, you know, think a little bit more rationally and understand that if it's the last 2 hours of the day and this dancer or this group of dancers have already done the other two ballets, they are not capable of going 110%. They can get to 99%. And tomorrow you will get the first 2 hours and you will get them fresh.
So it's kind of like
babysitting, yeah. Yes. Glorified babysitting.
Well, let's talk about the three works that made their premiere over the weekend. Ma Kong, your resident choreographer, did he dance this weekend? I don't know if he danced.
Yes, he did. Yeah, He's dancing in Matthew Nina's ballet. And it's funny because obviously he needs to be ready for the second piece in the evening. And so he's seen from the back of Studio K in full makeup, but totally dressed. Thank God he waits for the lights to be down to do that. And then he's in the back and he's watching the ballet and giving notes and taking notes. And then as soon as the curtain is down, he runs, puts his costume on, and dances the second ballet.
Oh, that's crazy. His ballet is called Juxtaposed. And from what James Watt said in the Tulsa World, he said this is perhaps a very different ballet from Ma Kong. Would you agree?
Yes. First of all, I'm glad you pronounced the name of his ballet because I'm not capable of doing so. And, you know, I had a conversation with Jim right after his piece, and he said to me something that really made me think. This guy is very smart. Yeah. He said, you know, this is the first time that I see one of Ma's works that is totally and entirely original, not something inspired by another choreographer or another group of choreographers with movements that you can see that transcend from something else. This is really the first time that Ma Kong has created something that reflects his own voice. He is finding his own voice. And that's phenomenal. I mean, after doing so many ballets, he's obviously not afraid of maybe making a mistake, and this time he just went in there and he said, I'm going to do whatever I feel, however I feel it. And the ballet is quite phenomenal.
I would think as a dancer, where you're dancing, especially with the variety of choreographers your company exposes a principal dancer to, that it would be very hard not to let a little bit of that vocabulary slip into your own work because you're constantly doing other people's work.
Yes, but it's also the opposite is also true. Because our dancers, and the dancer especially like Ma Kong, that everybody loves and works with, because he is exposed and he has worked with so many great choreographers, he has acquired the best and the vocabulary of everybody. So his bag of tools right now is huge. And as he's stopping dancing, he's realizing how many tools he has in that box, and that he can use all those tools to finally create something that really reflects his own voice.
Now, as you were watching this piece come together, did you have the sense that this was something completely different?
Yes, sometimes I was wondering, what the heck is he doing? Somebody's going to get hurt, because the ballet is very difficult and very hard. But then when it all came together, I was actually pleasantly surprised. Ma always does very good works, and that's something special about this man. Choreographers, sometimes they create good works and sometimes flops. Well, Ma has never done a flop. His ballets are either good or excellent or exceptional. Actually, I should say either good or excellent. But now, by virtue of finding his own voice, he's starting to get into the exceptional category.
All right. And how would you describe this ballet? I know it's pretty much abstract for the most part.
All three works are abstract.
Yeah. But
there is something that connects them. And I think the common denominator is emotions. Even if a choreographer says that his work is abstract, choreographers, human beings, artists are very emotional. So
you're trying to transmit something.
Exactly. You're trying to translate into steps what you feel, your feelings, your emotions. So you might not know what those emotions mean at this particular time, but actually it's easier for an audience when you sit and watch the work from the outside to perceive what the choreographer had in their hearts and souls and mind at that particular time.
You mentioned this ballet is pretty difficult. From a dancer's perspective, what is difficult about this?
Well, you see, when Ma choreographed and choreographs, the usual reaction from the dancers is looking at him, dropping their jaw, and then saying, "Do you really want us to do that?" Because Ma has a very, very flexible body. He can knot himself 3 or 4 times and look absolutely wonderful. But that's very special. Now we got to the point that he can't actually do all the knotting anymore on himself. So he's starting to do it even more with the dancers around him. I mean, the pas de deux and the solos, everything is very complicated and very articulated, and you need a huge amount of flexibility, musicality, in order to dance his ballets, and natural movement.
All right. Well, that's the first ballet of 3 world premieres, which made their premiere at Studio K this past weekend and will continue Wednesday through Sunday at Studio K. Off the Floor, Creations from Studio K continues this week. My guest, Marcello Angelini, Artistic Director of Tulsa Ballet, who's been corralling 3 major choreographers working with his dancers and getting these 3 world premieres ready. Matthew Neenan is the middle piece, the Fullest Recreation. And Matthew Neenan, tell us a little bit about him.
The first time I saw a work by Matthew Neenan was in Seoul, South Korea, when Tulsa Ballet was dancing at the International Expo there. His company, Ballet X, was in the same evening with us on the opening night, and that was the first time I saw one of his works. I continued to follow him. Matthew is one of the young, I don't know if he's up and coming, but he's already established and yet he's continuing to grow. He is the resident choreographer of the Pennsylvania Ballet, has his own company, Ballet X, and he's choreographing a little bit all over the country whenever he has time, because obviously between his company and Pennsylvania Ballet, he doesn't have a lot of time. In fact, he was telling me that he's considering slowing down his relationship maybe with the Pennsylvania Ballet so that he has more time to choreograph outside. Matthew is a phenomenal dance maker. He came in and he decided to do something totally different from what he usually does. That seems to be the theme of this evening. Everybody came here and said, "I want to do something different." Ma Kong did something different. And
I think that's a great tribute to this program. It's like they're going to experiment in a way, maybe because it's a small theater, maybe it's because it's in Tulsa, you know, who knows. But you're getting them to take risk as well in their choreography, which
yes,
is a cool thing.
I don't think that is because it's Tulsa. This company right now has an international reputation, and coming to Tulsa is quite prestigious, believe it or not, even for somebody like Matthew Neenan.
Well, you talk about how busy he is. He probably has maybe 3 or 4 times a year that he can go out, and maybe even less than that.
Maybe
go
2.
Out. Yeah, 2 times a year. If you're going to go outside of your own companies, you're going to pick the best opportunities.
Absolutely. And the thing is, the company is very good and very versatile. And Matthew came in and he said, "I saw them in class and I saw them wearing the girls' point shoes, and those guys can do anything. So I want to try to do something that also uses all their technical abilities and their footwork for the ladies and their jumps and their turns." And the ballet that he did is quite wonderful. My favorite part are the 2 duets. There are 2 pas de deux that are absolutely stunning, visually, emotionally. And again, Matthew says, "Yes, my ballet is an abstract ballet." Every time that I see these pas de deux, I get cramps in my stomach. I mean, they are just, you know, they touch your heart, they touch your soul. So in spite of being abstract, they really get under your skin.
Now, he's using traditional classical music for this, but I guess the ballet is anything but classic in its only way.
Actually, it is a classical ballet, but Matthew is a more contemporary choreographer, so his vision of classical ballet is a little bit different. Yeah, the girls might be doing something that is extremely classical, and then the next movement is totally contemporary. And so this mixture of classical ballet moved to the 21st century is what makes it so interesting stylistically.
Now, I know James Watson, in his review, was saying that he felt like it was like you're doing classical movements, and it was almost like a wink and a nod all of a sudden. Is that the feeling that you had about it as well?
Yes.
I mean, it's sort of like tweaking the traditional ballet.
Well, and it's probably more a question of realizing that classical ballet doesn't need to be this stuffy old 19th century thing. Dance has evolved, classical ballet has evolved, techniques has evolved. And so the way you choreograph a classical ballet today is totally different from what it was 200, 150 years ago.
You can't create a museum piece.
Oh my gosh, no. If you want to, there are plenty of great museum pieces, and you know, when you do them well, and if you manage to bring them to life, they are extremely beautiful. But you don't want to create a retrospective work in the 21st century. It is not going to work well.
So as this piece is coming together, you expect to see the Matthew Neenan you've seen with Ballet X, and all of a sudden he's saying, no, I want the point shoes, and I want... What was your reaction?
Oh. But again, the initial reaction was he's using classical music and he's doing a ballet, a point shoes ballet. and then you go in there and you realize that the vocabulary he's using is a mix between classical ballet and contemporary dance. But the meaning and the sense of movement and the use of space is totally contemporary, totally 21st century. So, I mean, I was reassured right away. And again, Matthew does incredibly good ballets. So those are not up-and-coming choreographers. Those are people that have done works for major companies all over the world.
This was his first time with the company, correct?
Yes, it was.
Now, in the case of Nicolo Fonte, he's been here, but it's been what? A number of years, hasn't it?
It has been 9 or 10 years, yes. Nicky is probably the choreographer in this evening that has had the most international career. Nicky has choreographed for all the top companies of the world, the Stuttgart Ballet, Dutch National Ballet, Houston Ballet, Joffrey Ballet, Pacific Northwest, Royal Ballet of Flanders, I mean, Royal Swedish Ballet, you name it. I mean,
if it's royal, he's been
there. It is royal, he has been there, absolutely. Of course, I have known Nicky for 22 years. We used to dance together, and I'm going to tell you a short, funny story about him. We used to dance together with Le Grand Ballet Canadien, and as you probably know, male dancers at the end of the daily routine, the daily class, we all like to show off our hairy chest, and we started doing all the jumps and the turns and all the virtuoso stuff, all the butch stuff, and then we pound our chest and we'll feel good for the rest of the day. So in the middle of this daily exercise, Nicky would just step in the center of the studio and start improvising some incredible contemporary movements and choreography and stop everybody in their tracks. And then once he was done, he would say to everybody, stop, one day I'm going to be a famous choreographer. Well, here we are, 22 years later, and gosh, he's a famous choreographer. And these works are just exceptional.
This piece, Axis Mundi, uses a long ribbon as sort of a device.
Well, he wanted to use a strip of marley, the rubber floor that we use so that we don't slip, in a different color that changes, starts in one diagonal, then the duet is in a different diagonal, and then is moved vertical to the stage. And if you ask him, what does it mean? He looks at you and he will tell you, whatever it means to you. And then there are lights on stage and live music. Live music is played live, is piano. Some of it is Philip Glass, and is played live on stage.
Give us a sense of the look of the ballet. You have this long strip that goes through there, and the dancers are...
tripping all over it, yes. No, actually, they learned not to trip, but when he told me that he wanted to do that, I said, Nicky, please. Why do you want to get somebody hurt? Oh, don't worry, I'll find a way not to make them trip. And sure enough, he did. The piece is very contemporary. It is, again, one of the most beautiful duets I've ever seen. It's sort of more European in look, stark, with stark lights and very strong side lights, very sharp movements. But again, I told him, I said, Nicky, I know you have done, 100 ballets, but I really think this is your best work. is definitely one of his best pieces. And he was telling me that he felt very comfortable with the company, that he was surprised of the level of the company. In fact, he has two full casts. I mean, a ballet of that difficulty, you don't usually double cast it. And yesterday and Saturday matinee and Sunday matinee, we had the second cast, and they were just as good as the first cast. And so he felt very comfortable with the dancers and with the atmosphere. And again, this piece is quite phenomenal.
Yeah. If we can take a step back from Studio K, from this year's Studio K, as you look back over, how many years have we done? Have you been doing these three world premieres? Is this the?
It has been 6 years. This is our sixth season, and the idea was to create art in Studio K and export it to the world. And let me step back for a second. What does it mean? When I came to Tulsa in 1995, I had two goals. The first one was to bring the top works and the top choreographers to Tulsa.
Import,
absolutely. Which took a little bit of time because you need to have one heck of a good company to be approved to dance those works. But then there was a second stage. Once we get to that point that we have this great company, this great repertory, the ballet world works exactly like our bank accounts. If you always take, eventually go overdrawn. If you don't create new works and share them with the work, if you don't nourish the next generation of choreographers, eventually the art form will die. And that's what the idea behind Studio K, which I probably never told you, but the first design of Studio K dates back to 1997. That was the first time I approached our architect and I asked her to design a space for creations in our building. It took about an extra 10 years to get it done, but eventually it got done. And so now works created in Studio K, they are performed all over the world. Works created in Studio K have been performed by the Universal Ballet in South Korea, by the Deutsche Oper Am Rhein in Düsseldorf, Germany, by the National Ballet of Turkey in Ankara, and by the Opéra de Nice in Nice, France. So we are creating works in Studio K, and companies that, by the way, they are all larger than ours, are performing works created in Tulsa.
Yeah, that was my question. How well are we exporting these ballets? Now, I notice they're all international companies, American companies. Are they picking these ballets up as well?
Actually, not yet. It's all international ballets. Oddly enough, it's the big international ballets. The Universal Ballet of Korea has 80 dancers, and they took one or two pieces created in Studio K. Düsseldorf has 65 dancers. The National Ballet of Turkey, 100 dancers. The Opéra de Nice, 40 dancers. It's all companies bigger than us, and they are interested in the work that we are doing in Tulsa.
All right. Well, sounds like another great weekend of ballet coming up Wednesday through Sunday at the Tulsa Ballet's Studio K, just off Peoria at 45th Place. Off-the-floor creations from Studio K. Now, the week after this, usually that would be the end of the season, but you're going to have a special sort of fundraiser farewell special evening. It's called The Last Dance, and this is something I did want to touch on. You're losing three great dancers, not only three great dancers, but three real important cogs in the ballet. I mean, they have really helped create this history. Ma Kong, Alfonso Martin, and Alexandra Bergman, who are all leaving the company this year. That's got to be a little bittersweet.
Yes, it is. It's more bitter than sweet because when I look at them, I look at the work we have done together. And, you know, there have been four, five dancers, maybe six dancers throughout these 18 years that I have been in Tulsa that have been the pillars on which we have built the company. And those three, Daniela, Ashley, Blade, those are the people that really built this company. Seeing them retire is really the end of an era. But I knew the moment was coming because they are all in 36, 37 years old, which is usually the time dancers think to retire. So I have been planning for it. And thankfully, the replacements have already been hired a year ago and 6 months ago. So the company will continue going in the same direction. We have incredibly good dancers that joined from Romania or from Seoul, South Korea. And we have a new one, a principal from Stuttgart Ballet, Elizabeth Mason, that will join next season. So they have been replaced in the flesh, but those people are irreplaceable in the hearts of the audience and mine.
And really, you know, I would think a ballet company is somewhat like an athletic team, as far as those people set the tone for what the newcomers come in. They see how the principal dancers work, how they approach everything. That's the sort of the intangible side of it, of creating a culture around your ballet company. So I think it sounds like it's going to be an interesting time, but it could be a difficult transition.
Well, and you know, I have been looking for people that could fit those shoes for 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. and I have seen. Keep in mind, we see between 900 and 1,000 people every year, and the four people that have been hired to replace them, they are already doing a great job. For example, Henry and Hughie, who joined the company in January from the Universal Ballet of Korea, well, they were principal there. That's a company of 80 dancers. Henry was the opening cast for their Paris tour, and their work ethics are phenomenal. I mean, those people work hard, work very honestly, and are also incredible dancers. And Ovidiu and Elizabeth, that is joining, you know, in July. Elizabeth, Stuttgart Ballet is one of the five top companies in the world, and the girl is principal there, and she's coming to Tulsa. I like to take the credit for that, but I have to share it with her sister, because her sister lives in Tulsa. And, you know, those two are very close, and she wanted to get back to her family, and so Tulsa was the natural choice.
All right. Well, the last dance will celebrate their careers, and you're going to have a special evening, Ma is going to actually choreograph a piece for the three of them.
Yes, the official title is The Last Dance, but the inside joke, the way we call it inside, between the three dancers and myself, we call it Opening the Morgue. We are opening the morgue for one last time. Well, each one of them is going to dance a solo or a pas de deux with each other or with somebody special that I'm not allowed to disclose yet, because I don't know if she's going to dance or not. And then Mai is going to choreograph a short piece for the three of them. But that's the second part of the show. The first part of the show, I have asked Jim Woods, our Tulsa World reviewer, to spend 45 minutes interviewing them. Jim has seen those dancers grow up from the corps de ballet, from when they first joined the company, all the way through the rise through the ranks, and now to their retirement. He knows those dancers better than anybody else. And he's also a very smart guy, so I can't wait to see what he's going to ask them. I asked him not to tell me or them what he's going to ask, because I want that interview, that moment, right, to be totally, totally natural. So I think I'm going to be there in the audience enjoying it just as much as all the other 600 people.
And that's The Last Dance, and that is the 17th of May.
Yes, May 17th.
All right. Well, Marcello Angelini, have a great week of performances this week, and then the final Last Dance next week. Thanks very much for joining us. Tulsa Ballet Artistic Director Marcello Angelini speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. Off the Floor, Creations from Studio K continues Wednesday through Sunday with new ballets by Ma Kong, his Juxtaposed, Matthew Neenan's The Fullest Recreation, and Niccolo Fonte's Axis Mundi. Performances continue Wednesday through Sunday at Tulsa Ballet Studio K, located just off of Peoria on 45th Place. For ticket information, call 918-749-6006. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.